Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
We're back.
We are.
Lewis Fowler's here curating a month of films featuring or created by Indigenous peoples. This week we're doing Poltergeist 2, The Other Side.
Break on through.
Which
we broke on through.
They did.
Which is pretty
great.
I
like
great.
How they didn't, they held back and didn't put that song in there.
Yeah.
I feel like that was almost the
title. Held back, or it was too expensive.
Way too expensive.
It's like an afterthought. The title felt like they didn't need that.
Well, yeah, that came out like 2 days before they released it. The marketing.
So the notable Indigenous person involved in this movie is Will Sampson, who played Taylor, who I had known previously from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and he's someone we lost way too young, 53, but he had had, I think, scleroderma or something.
Face.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, great face, great actor.
He was only 53?
Yeah.
Wow, he was like he was sculpted. He's a Brimley.
His son also died. His son was a stunt performer who also died like in his early 60s. He was on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, an episode of that.
Oh, was he the one that played that character in the one where Frank's in the asylum?
You know what? He's credited as Native American.
That's him.
That's him. So oh, that's great.
It might have been him. You know what? It probably was.
No, it definitely, there's no way it's not because he's playing the same character
he also played,
that his father played.
He played the character his father played in a Broadway version of Cuckoo's Nest. And then his daughter.
Oh, and he's dead now?
Did you just read his book or something?
I read about him. his daughter has appeared on an episode of Reservation Dogs. She's still around. But it's three generations. And he was the first in the family to get into entertainment. But I just think he's an interesting guy. Was an interesting guy. And a great addition to the mythology of Poltergeist and Andy's burp.
Sorry.
That
was disrespectful.
That was that tequila worm that he's got inside of it.
But we'll get into Poltergeist 2 later. Main attraction. Before that, Andy will review a movie called Row versus No One for Straight to Video Russian Roulette. And I have a really bad cold, and I'm doing much better than I thought I would.
I got it now. You're making an abortion joke.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to move on as I didn't want to open a can of worms.
Oh, you have a cold? Oh, I'm sorry, I had a stroke.
Oh, he had several, actually.
Several!
I'll give you a stroke. A nice, slow, sloppy, greasy stroke.
Boy!
Right in my mouth. No, okay.
Okay, so what do we have to do to top Lewis?
I have a migraine right now, and I was sick.
Oh, my heart.
Yeah. Actually, I was like, if the Reverend Cain actor can show up to work and be like, God is in this holy temple, I could show up for the podcast.
That guy died during filming.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he looked.
Yeah.
He was dying. He had stomach cancer.
God, this series is cursed.
I know.
Well, he signed up already. I mean, he already had stomach cancer.
No.
Was he pre-cursed?
Curse.
Did you, have you guys ever seen Best Worst Movie?
Yes.
About Troll 2? That one guy who's the character actor who's like in one of the characters that I can't remember. But he's just like that guy from Poltergeist.
Like Reverend Cain?
Yeah. except it's like as a non-working actor.
I'm trying to figure out who it was. Robert Ormsby, maybe the grandpa.
Was he dying? No,
I know who you're talking about. Don Packard, the guy who ran the drugstore.
Yeah.
He was kind. He kind of had that same look.
Yeah.
Yeah. He passed away too, didn't he? Jesus. He died last year. You know what?
Though, I know it's 94. An old movie, but still.
Troll 2 is cursed. He passed away at 94.
We're talking about old movies, but we're just listing off dead people now.
If anything, Troll 2 gives you long life. Because Nilbog is going to spell backwards.
It's all that Nilbog, that milk.
Yeah, but yeah. Julian Beck is the actor who, he was 60 years old when he died, but I was just going to say, like, it's weird because, like, I think his career, he was like a late in life start anyway. I mean, he'd done some stuff like in the 60s, but I feel like he really kind of just was like, I'm going to die. I think I'm going to make some movies real quick, which I respect
that. Does anybody else get into these, like, IMDb and Wikipedia, like, wormholes where you're like, where did 2 hours go? But you're watching some old movie and you're looking at the cast and you're going to find something in there that's like, wait, they died how? And then you got to go to Wikipedia to do a little bit more research. And then you find out that they were murdered by like a goat. I don't know. Just crazy shit.
We've been watching a lot of older stuff. So Everyone is dead. So Amy, it's like, we're getting,
I just
like,
start playing. Okay. Who died weird?
Cause like we're watching like episodes of Rockford Files and it's like, everyone's dead.
Everyone.
So great theme. I love
excellent.
It. God, great show, great theme. Expenses.
Really great show. Great theme.
Yeah.
Amy's, I'm into it.
Just start. Amy did not grow up. I don't know
how. I've never seen an episode of Rockford Files.
How she had never seen Rockford Files, but.
I get it. That was not a.
Was it on air?
It was on Channel 19 forever.
Syndication.
Was it an hour show?
It was an hour show.
Okay, there's your problem right there.
Oh, you didn't have the attention span.
And I mean, was that something you would have been super into as a young little girl?
Private detective,
Jim Rockford.
I watched like Gilligan and like old the original Batman series. Yeah. But
I only watched
half hours.
Yes, and I only watched it because of my parents. They loved James Garner and they loved the Rockford Files.
And so you're young. And you're like, oh, forget that. I'm young, and I don't need to be that. That's 20 years later, and you're
fucking Rockford hipster,
dude. The thing about Rockford and all those shows that caught my attention was they had car chases almost every episode, and that was the thing.
I think that was one of the conceits.
Yeah,
it's pretty much like that. I think is why I like Columbo. I watched Columbo growing up, but I would much prefer Rockford Files.
He needs a little action in his mystery.
I love PI stories, man. I love that style of, like, I don't know why. It just always felt like the most magical kind of fucking job in the world that you are a guy living in.
You should watch Burn Notice.
I need to watch Burn Notice.
Brad, you love that. You would love the shit out of Burn Notice. I goddamn Notice guarantee on, it.
Here's the thing, Kelly.
Shit.
They're going to watch it in 20 years.
Yeah, it's really old.
Everyone has to be dead.
No, I love this.
Yeah, give people time to die.
I know you think it's weird, but I think it's lovely to be able to go back and watch this stuff like that I've always heard about that I know influenced other things.
I agree.
And I get to like, and it's old where it wasn't like serialized. It's all episodic. I don't have to pay too much attention.
Great locations. Some of the best locations on TV.
It's always fun to see guest stars because on like shows like that where it's like so episodic
and figure out how they died weird.
Like, when I watching Murder She Wrote, you see just the constant rotating door of like familiar faces.
I think
Voyager.
So many Voyagers.
Boy, oh boy. The entire cast of NYPD Blue showed up last night.
All at once?
Yeah.
What episode? Bam.
The Amelia Earhart one and like I started looking up everybody and they were all at one point or another in NYPD Blue. Sharon Lawrence played Amelia Earhart.
There's going to be, I don't know if you know about this guest star that has horror connections that's coming up in a couple of seasons. Ooh, I'm excited for you.
I'm excited.
I got to give a shout out. Sam Ingrafia, he's the actor who works with our buddy John Wagner all the time. He just appeared on an episode of Quantum Leap, the new Quantum Leap, as an airline pilot who gets murdered. So, so I'm pretty pumped to check that out eventually in 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
By the way, the Vidians are so scary and gross.
Are they the ones that have the phage and then they have their skin is all gross. They're sorry. Crusty.
There was a straight up horror. Sorry, like this is the horror Star Trek for people who don't love Star Trek.
Yeah. It's good shit.
There was an episode where someone wears someone else's face.
Was Brad
like Dorn Hannibal Lecter?
Oh yeah.
Never I don't want to spoil anything.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, I didn't say who or when or what.
No, I'm talking to Freddie.
Oh, to me.
I almost spoiled a guest star, I think.
Please don't.
I want it to surprise you. But in other Star Trek news, no, I'm kidding.
Just have your own podcast.
Yeah.
It's time.
And talk about all the people that showed up on the show. And
I love it. You would
guest star show.
You would love it.
Yeah.
Beamed aboard is what we should call it.
Yeah. The motherfucking Rock.
It could be sponsored by IMDb.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Freddie.
You didn't forget.
Who she means.
Yeah, I did. Which episode was he on?
It's a later season of Voyager.
Oh. I don't remember.
It would have to be.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, you can't just
how
stare
do you
it
not
out of me.
Remember,
Amy's trying to stare an answer out of me.
The day we watched that episode, I did a lap around the house, like what the fuck?
Oh no! I don't
basically, it just like The Rock, except in a tunic.
Did he smell what Neelix was cooking?
Was he on that planet where everybody dresses in root? Sexy togas? Remember that place?
It's full of nutrients.
Nutrients. Yeah.
I'm surprised that you're surprised Freddie doesn't remember that.
I can't remember anything that happened in the past 30 years. I remember Rockford Files. Yeah.
Do you remember Seven of Nine's breasts?
I remember all of her shape.
Well.
Top to bottom. Bottom to top.
Here's the thing, Amy. I've never watched the Star Trek, and I remember her breasts, too.
Thank you.
Because
Jerry Ryan, A+.
Yeah, they're pretty spectacular.
Damn, she looks great today.
Yeah.
Fucking today.
Picard.
Anyway.
Gene Luck Pickard.
So where were we? We were bantering. We were having fun talking about stuff.
Patreon.
Yeah, .com.
Origins.
/OTLP.
We were doing Asian movies. We did Mr. Vampire.
Can you guess how we did?
And we did Red Shoe. The Red Shoe.
Yes.
Man with One Red Shoe.
Remember David Duchovny was the narrator for that show?
Yes.
He had so many red shoes and
the silliest softcore in the world.
Hey, that was like an awakening for our generation.
Yeah.
I agree. Yes. I'm right there with you. Still the silliest softcore of all.
Wasn't it literally the same pair of red shoes made everybody fuck? Where like if you found them, it was like, guess what's happening
tonight?
Like
the traveling pants?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I don't know if they made you. I think it was like the story of people who got the shoes and then fucked.
Used shoes are not sexy.
I don't know. The Red Shoe Diaries. Could they? I've maybe seen a half an episode in my life.
Yeah.
I've seen it over and over.
I've seen
certain parts of the show.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I have maybe watched an entire episode or two in my 20s. For a lark, but mostly not.
I feel like it was
masturbatory lark.
It's all people.
No, those were a genuine lark.
Oh, I gotcha.
And then the other times I watched it in bits and pieces, those were masturbatory larks.
It's all just people thrusting at each other's belly buttons.
Yeah, when they go to perform oral, they're way off.
Yep.
They're always way, way off.
Softcore pornography, y'all.
They're like off to the side.
Does it exist anymore? I mean, HBO, you see everything.
Yeah. Well, mostly.
I think you have to seek it out.
Okay.
It's almost like it's like a throwback thing.
I think specifically there are people that can only get off on softcore pornography.
That's what I mean. There's like I gotta do, it's from my childhood, man. I gotta go back.
Or like, those are like people that could love to watch cooking shows, but hate to see people eat. It's the same subset of person.
Well, you know, once you get to a certain age, you know, you only think about the softcore variety.
Yeah, you're like, I'm getting too old. I can't risk being not satisfied by this belly button oral that's happening. This could be the last orgasm I ever have.
Belly button oral.
I need something to recreate glaucoma, like the soft lit light.
Oh,
the soft focus.
Yeah. Yeah. Shannon Tweed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes out.
Who's she married to?
I don't know.
The Kiss guy, right?
Jimmy Tweed.
Gene Simmons. Are they still married?
They used to have a reality show, didn't they? Was that back in the
They
early
have a 2000s? Chili and a barbecue sauce. They probably had a reality show too.
Real reality show.
Like everybody, I feel like between like 2002 and 2008, every like celebrity couple had one reality show.
Keeping Up with the Kistassians.
Yeah.
Kids in Satan's Army. Service. Kid, that would be Kisa. Kids and there's
I love that it's a service. Like that is the weakest like type of army. Like we are in Satan's service. We do a lot of things for him. We take the mail out and we tidy up in hell and we just keep things nice and neat. We call his doctors and make appointments.
Satan set up
we be on this week. Kids in Satan's service.
I get a scoop of ice cream.
They're all British for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, that was Origins we were talking about before, right? We're going to have Topicana, which is your question, right?
Well, no.
Or is it somebody else's
question?
It's
still Kelly.
Oh, you have the question.
Give it to Kelly.
You can have it. I don't need it.
All right, I'll take it.
Unless you want me to have it. All right, take it.
Do you know what it is?
No.
All right.
But it will be great.
So check
that
out.
So if you're a patron, you'll get to hear that.
Topicana is where we have this freeform hullabaloo. No, totally different than what we're doing right now. Much less structured. You ready to move on to roulette?
I am.
Yeah, word. Word up.
Word.
Ada benda tak elok dah masuk dalam kawasan ni.
Kau ada nampak budak perempuan.
I know. It's not in English.
I just gave you eyes. Aku lagi kat sini.
But I just had to give you a
tease. Isn't there a joke about that?
About Asians?
Not speaking English.
Vaginas.
Oh, yeah, yep. If Lewis. You listen to Origins, you'll hear
Lewis.
Horrible World War II era propaganda.
Bartholomew Fowler.
Bartholomew.
I don't know what your middle name is, but that's what
it's
I'm
Tiberius.
If I have to use you. Tiberius.
That's your go-to answer for everything.
It's everyone's middle name.
It's the best answer.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Okay, should I just go ahead?
R-O-H,
not R-O-W, like I originally thought. Because you just told
how'd
me
how to go? How long did it take?
It took me a while.
You didn't think to text me?
I had to type in row horror movie, but then nothing came up.
And then it was a movie about somebody stuck on a boat by themselves.
I'm sorry, dummy.
So I had it. Thankfully, what saved me, you said it was on Shudder. So I typed in, and you said it was from Malaysia. So I typed in Malaysian Shudder.
Oh.
And it came up.
Nice.
Thank God for small favors.
So I made that a little more difficult than I should. But
you got there.
Yes, I got. I watched the movie. Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to like this so much, but.
But you didn't.
You're allowed not to.
No, I didn't not like it, but I didn't like it either.
Okay, Andy. I got to talk to you about your inability to make an opinion.
I don't know. Okay, I watched this in a
this
rush.
This is an intervention.
Yeah.
It was my own fault.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, I have time to watch it before the show. Then time got away from me. And it's a slow burn movie.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this is a movie you need to dedicate time to and be in the right headspace and have time to watch instead of rushing around trying to, and the subtitle too, which didn't help.
Oh, now you had to read it.
Rush around and do things. Be rushed. And a slow burn, you can't really fast forward through certain parts. You have to like watch the whole thing.
You should never fast forward through parts of the movie that you're
sometimes.
It's a bad practice. I don't recommend it.
It's not like I do it all the time. But if you're like,
do I have to write up a document and have you all sign it? It says you will finish the fucking movie. and you will not.
I will not sign this
through the movie.
I need to go through with my lawyer.
Yeah,
and then
I hate you guys.
If I can finish The Pest and keep that down.
Now here's I watch movies at the last minute because my memory.
Oh, so Andy, bad. I forgive you, son. I've done this a million times.
You're forgiven.
I always tend to watch the show like the day of the movie, the day of, so I can remember it because my memory is so bad that I can't like review a movie I watched even like yesterday.
But. Rockford Files is good though.
That's easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah, just watch some of those.
It's, you don't have to pay attention.
I will accept at any point going forward. A review of two episodes of Rockford Files for any one.
In lieu of, yeah. You know what?
Is that the exchange,
new rule right
now? The exchange rate?
If you hate a movie so much that you're like, I can't finish it, you just watch two Rockford Files of your choosing.
And bring your report.
I don't fast forward movies often, but sometimes
you're
you do.
Okay.
I don't often either.
This is you're not an adult. You can do what you
this
want.
This is not a real job. I can't really make you sign a document.
I wanted to like this movie because it started off really well. I was like, is that a nice mood and tone?
Yeah.
And I love folk horror from it's like other cultures. And it kept me engaged because I was so unfamiliar with these legends and these stories that I wanted to figure out what's going on. But at the same time, I need things to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me of the Vivitch a lot, just because it's a similar story. It's this isolated family and just creepy bad things happen to them. But in the Vivitch...
Is it also period piece?
No. It's... modern day, but it might as well be period because this is a pretty poor family that lives in their like have basically the same
rural
they basically have the same lifestyle as the Vivitch family,
yeah, like there's a well
of, yeah there's a, they had to get their own water and I love in these movies like the drudgery poor people is shown by them sewing a lot of things. It's a lot of sewing,
yeah, because you have to mend your clothes.
Yes, but it was just the thing I noticed.
Yeah. They should have named the movie So instead of Row.
But as they spelled S-O-O-H.
Yeah. And you're like, it's So-So.
Yeah. It's tight.
It's tight.
But in the Vitch, I think more things happened in between. And I had an idea of where the story was going because I guess maybe I'm more familiar with that type of like mythology.
You mean the American, like...
The witch stuff.
New England witchy stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this movie gave you nothing. It just gave you just scenes after scenes of creepy stuff. I need to get an idea. They get little breadcrumbs, but the breadcrumbs were, you know, very...
Yeah. They were too small.
Oh, suddenly you need that, but Skinamarink was great.
Again, I was in a captive audience because I saw in the theater.
Yeah.
I was ready to watch that.
Okay.
You knew what you were getting to.
Yes. But,
so just know, listener, based on his review, what the hypocrite is with Skinamarink.
Take this review with a grain of salt. But...
Amy is furious at Andy's lack of consistency.
So fucking furious.
And I also need people to just come out and say what's happening. Sure. Instead of saying like there's something strange going on, even though you know something. You know you're the person that knows what's happening, but you don't tell the people what's happening.
You mean the audience doesn't even you're like or the
No, he's saying the characters.
Yeah. He could have just said, "Hey, your daughter's possessed by a demon," instead of saying there's something weird going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just...
I get it. Yes. It's like if you hired a plumber, you wouldn't want him to be like, your toilet is unnameably ruined.
Can I interject here? Mm. So I watched this movie about a year ago, and I watched it right now, and I think it's gotten even better. I mean, if you go in with a watching the whole movie without the time constraints. It really is a very dark movie, and I think some of it's lost on translation. You know, when the speaker, but I thought it was very, very, very drab and. Dark, you know, the whole the whole thing.
The ritual of watching movies for me is key to whether I enjoy it or not. If I don't,
yeah, cause I mean,
if I don't, if I, it, yeah.
I think about like Indy. If I just go through it, you know, because I got time constraint. I think I would believe I would be more likely to not engage with it. But I had this. Alone to watch. I thought it was so great.
No, I like you said, it was dark and heavy. For me, it was a little too heavy.
Yeah,
a lot of children dying.
Oh yeah.
And well, being, G. Willikers.
Yeah, that's a slow spoiler. I mean, but I didn't mean to spoil it. But children die.
Yeah. Well. It's a horror film.
Yes. Does the dog die though?
And I normally really like that.
You love dead kids?
Because I like it when a movie goes that far.
I gotcha. Yeah,
you know what I mean? To push like the limits of what's like, oh God, of cringe and like, ee.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's kind of like the last hurdle. Like, because, you know, it's okay when adults die.
Yeah.
Not okay, but it's more.
It's more palatable. Yeah. It's like when you see the Blob remake and there's those moments where you're like,
exactly.
It's shocking because it's more common now, I think, in horror movies, but still, it's still kind of taboo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like I like that they went for that, but
the sweetest taboo.
Like I said, like maybe if I gave this another watch, with, in the right headspace and right time.
Yeah.
And I think I would like it a lot more. But like I said, it was not the movie's fault. It's my own.
Some movies are like it's like a sexual experience. You need foreplay. Like,
dear Lord.
You know, I mean, in all seriousness, like, I do feel like some movies, if you do not set the mood, they just don't work. Like it's like some movies universally, you can kind of Shawshank Redemption, you can throw on anytime.
Do you have an example of one you would think that needs a mood set?
Yeah, Enter the Void is the perfect example of that.
Oh, anything by that
anybody director. Gaspar Noé does. You have to put yourself in the right mindset to watch it. I feel that way about
Skinamarink. Amy brought it up.
Yeah.
You need to devote time.
Yeah, Skinamarink's one of those.
Lars von Trier, maybe?
Lars von Trier, definitely.
All right, I get you.
Anything by Jodorowsky, I think. I feel like you can't just go into that like any other movie. Like, it has to be like, it's date night with Jodorowsky. Someone's arms are getting cut off ritualistically because somebody couldn't keep their mind straight. I'm just like, I give myself over to that shit if I'm going to watch it. Otherwise, I can't even do it.
Ken Russell, too.
Oh, yeah. I love Ken Russell stuff. My dad was a big Ken Russell fan.
You really got to get, like, you got to get
your mind right.
You got to prepare yourself if you're going to watch that Jared from Subway documentary. There's some preparation just that goes in there.
Don't watch that.
Well, I'm probably not going to. I watched the Michael Jackson one.
It's enough.
Yeah. And I watched the one about Jimmy Savile.
So you're full up.
I think I'm good. I get the idea.
Your pedophile documentary slots are.
I believe the victims, and I get the idea. Yeah.
Right. So there's about the documentary about Jared from Subway by Ken Russell.
Interestingly, such a popcorn movie, that one.
Yeah, it's called Lair of the White Guy.
Here's the thing.
I'm sorry I keep bringing it up.
No, Freddie and Amy kept the whole weekend.
I know, the whole horror weekend.
They kept saying like, oh God, I can't get it out of my mind. And don't watch it, by the way.
Yeah, then but you dump it on
because
other people.
Because that's how it feels.
Yeah.
It's like it's like The Ring. You're trying to push the trauma off on other people.
Yeah, for true.
Did you meet other people who did like Skinamarink? I still haven't watched it yet.
I've met all kinds of people that liked Skinamarink.
It's a split.
I'm expecting to like it.
Our friend Troy hated it, and he judges us for liking it.
As do I.
Here's the thing about Skinner.
Well, I mean,
I would have preferred seeing it at home, in a completely dark room
with headphones. That's what I'm going to do.
It worked for me better in the theater, actually.
Did you watch it at home?
No, but like feel like I that it wouldn't work as well in at home for me because. it put me in the space of a child because of
It's bigger.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Child. I would just sit really close to my TV. I'd make myself feel like a child. I'd put on underoos.
Oh my lord.
Have a bowl of cereal.
I have a bowl of cereal. Turn all the lights out.
Again, setting the mood.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know how to set the mood for this one because
it's hard when you have all these responsibilities at home anyway. You know?
Again.
Oh lord. Oh, there he goes. Sorry. There he goes. Spray and snot everywhere.
I recommend this movie if you are prepared for it. But if you're like me and do not plan well.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just give me the movie another chance. But for the way I saw it, but even if I saw it, gave it the time and the space it needed.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have just been marginally recommend.
I gotcha. That makes sense.
Thank you, Andy. And thank you for the assist, Lewis, who does recommend the movie, I believe.
And if anyone noticed, I didn't play the intro for Roulette, and I apologize. Yeah. But
I had no idea.
I have a massive cold, and it's amazing that I'm sitting here.
I'm proud of you, sweetheart. Here he goes, blowing. Oh, and he mutes himself like he thinks you won't be able to hear any of that.
I hope you can't.
I hope
you can hear me blow my nose.
I can. Anyway.
Sorry.
Through Amy's mic.
Yeah.
So you hear like me in the distance blowing my nose?
That it does sound like someone outside, so it's good.
All right.
It's good.
Movie for next week is The Unheard. It is on Shudder. After undergoing an experimental procedure to restore her damaged hearing, 20-year-old Chloe Graydon begins to suffer from auditory hallucinations.
Damaged hearing. Wasn't that Lewis's podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Seemingly related to the mysterious disappearance of her mother. The Unheard. It's on Shudder. You ready?
Yeah.
It's been that mother.
Let's see.
What was it called again?
Did you?
Andy couldn't hear you. Ah, you get it.
Put.
What?
Do we want to put Lewis in?
Oh, did you want to be in, Lewis?
No.
Oh, okay. Wait. We're done after this month.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on anymore, you guys.
You're killing
me.
Kelly, you're going to be watching this. Sorry, there's no sound. It's unheard.
That's all right.
I just assume Lewis is going to be here all the time.
Yeah. We're putting him away in the box until September.
go back to your box.
Will you text me that? Mm-hmm.
Doing it right now, bitch.
Will you text me?
Thank you.
All right. Sorry. We're messy.
We'll be back. We're messy. Gilly, God is in his holy temple.
Great choice, Lewis.
Yeah. Loved.
Yeah. I did we do this for
can't
the
show Can't hear
already?
Kelly, Freddie. Can't hear
Oh,
Lewis.
Shit.
Can't
Sorry.
Hear nobody.
There you go, guys.
All right, now we can hear you.
I think we watched it years ago, but...
We did.
I don't think I liked it back then, but since my movies have tastes have changed over the last 12 years.
Yeah, I agree. Really I agree like this. 100%.
This is a first for me.
When I remember seeing it on VHS like in 86 or something, and I thought it was dumb because it wasn't like the first Poltergeist. But I watched this one now and I've realized how things are changed. It's especially for the time, it was a very progressive film,
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't the whole Tonto remarks, and I mean, it's really, really a pretty good. Sure, it's got some things that are kind of, you know, yeah, stereotypical, but it's really pretty good. As far as the movie goes, it was actually pretty, pretty, yeah, good creatures. It's got a good story. I mean, it's pretty good. It should be rediscovered.
I agree. I've never seen it. And all I heard from everyone was how much it sucked. And so we started watching and I was like, oh, I wonder when this is going to start to suck, because this is good as shit. And the writing is actually so strong and the cast is so strong. I love that they make choices that you don't expect. Like, and just to give a quick example, like when Reverend Kane comes and is trying to convince Stephen, like he's trying to play on his manhood and try and get Taylor out of the house. In a lot of movies, in a kind of more hacky movie, that would have become like the conflict. He would have let him in. It would have been this thing and he would have had to figure it out. But at the end, or in the end of that scene, he actually rebukes him. And I thought that was like one of the strong things. I was like, oh, here's where it's going to start to suck. And then it moved on. So I thought the writing was really strong.
Yeah, I thought
and the directing?
It was had more depth to it than I remember. It wasn't just like a sequel. Like, oh, here come the poltergeist again. Like, I like how they handled what the family went through in the first movie.
Well,
they don't have a TV, and the son wants to have the TV, and how the parents are drinking to cope with what happened.
He's got long hair.
And like, he became a hippie because he went through such a big trauma before, and he says, hey, let's paint the car, man.
this is the best version of Amityville there's ever been.
Oh yeah.
This is the best Amityville movie.
Well, for you said that you said there's a 145 minutes or something.
There's a 130 minute edit of this movie you can't see it. Like the footage I mean, is lost.
It takes 90 minutes. I mean, I wonder how much stuff was left on the floor.
Mostly climax, mostly rush. The director did this before Brian Gibson, who also has passed away since. But he had been directing videos for like Styx.
That makes sense a lot because
the
end when they go to the other side.
Yeah.
That felt like a music video to me.
Well, yeah, a lot of it kind of had that vibe, but like he did videos for Styx and Foreigner, but then later on he directed What's Love Got to Do with It, which is critically acclaimed movie.
Oh, that's a really good movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah. And so he's like a solid director. He did that TV movie, The Josephine Baker Story.
That's another really good movie.
Yeah. So this is a guy, he's somebody who knows how to direct actors. So like all those bits in the beginning in the first two acts of the movie, like he picks up on where the chemistry between Taylor and Steven is like really, really great. You could tell those are the guys who just kind of you can feel them, the friendship that exists.
Becoming buddies. Yeah.
And then, in the way the romance between the mom and the dad, the way they still are really in love with each other despite everything they've been through together, like I love that.
Yeah.
But the problem I think comes in for this movie, it's the climax where the studio kind of rushed them to finish the movie, and they made a lot of cuts that reduced Zelda Rubinstein's role and Father Kane's role and Taylor. The really who are the characters who are really the ones who are the power characters in the story, the family.
Yeah, they're driving the story. Yeah,
right. They're the heroes and villains of the story. The family are kind of on the periphery of what their struggle is. So, but they reduce that where there's all this like there's like 40 minutes of footage that apparently like the idea was to have this more kind of grand.
Yeah, I would have liked to see more background on the cult and the Reverend character.
Well, yeah, there was scenes where
from what I saw, it was very effective. It's creepy the way that how she described how they just locked themselves up in the cave.
And
wouldn't let them leave.
Well, they in some of that footage that was cut, like the ancestors of Taylor were part of that cult, but they figured out that Reverend Kane was not a good guy. And like, so there is more backstory that you don't get there. the other characters from the first movie that were the investigators who came to the house in the first one.
Well, even at the end, they were supposed to be in it.
Yeah.
Well, they showed all the skeletons of the victims. It was like show versus tell. We didn't need to see what happened, but just seeing all those bodies, it really drove home how horrific it was.
Yeah, very.
And it was a good, and there's a very, like, I mean, that kind of thing. There were a lot of crazy religious kooks and sects that were out in the West at that. I mean, it was actually really good. You know, sometimes when movies like add to the backstory or retcon things or change things, it's shitty. But like, I thought that was like a really nice backstory to come up with that felt really like that was something that was plausible in terms of, you know, in the context of the movie. And, well, I have a question though, you guys. So, and I'm not sure was the original haunting, was it still the bodies from the cemetery that were moved, the above, you know, the later cemetery, not the cult people, but the cemetery they were buried under,
right?
Or they were under the pool. They were under the pool. So actually,
wait, so it was like pool, cemetery, cult, right?
Like, I also think there were layers. Like, if you look at the trivia for this movie on IMDb, there's tons.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted. I'm curious about. Yeah, like did the energy from the bodies that were moved? Did they activate the, you know, the spirits of the cult?
I think it's enough.
Which I think is cool.
Yeah, that
I think. Yeah,
or vice versa. I think it's like what chicken or egg? Which woke up which? But I think that's really cool too.
Yeah, it's like it's enough that it's just people that live there. Like at some point in history, layers on layers of graves. You know, like this idea of archaeology, and like you cannot help but like dig deep enough, you're gonna find civilizations that maybe you don't even know about. Like the concept is eerie in and of itself, like this idea that we are all on top of mass graves at any given point in our day.
And I love too I kind of guessed this, but then I love the idea that they did tie it back that the Reverend was the beast spirit, you know, in the, like tied to that. Cause I thought, I was like, I bet this dude was the beast. And then he was.
Yeah. So creepy. So, like the choice of actor and the costume and everything with him,
and like Lewis said, the effects were great when he was the worm and he got big and then he looked like the Reverend and he did that gross little crawl into the bathroom.
The worm was great, and like I know people may think it's stupid. I thought the braces monster
that was great. I did too.
That was really good.
I did too. That was very Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
it's Screaming Mad George, right? Who did the effects for this? And then I think, and then the art design. A lot of it was, well, not a lot of it, but a couple pieces were H.R. Giger, like the worm. I think.
Yeah.
It also reminded me of that scene from Superman 3.
Oh yeah, with the robot. With
the robot lady, and just the like the wires just pouring themselves into her body.
Maybe it wasn't Screaming.
Phone call. That Carol Ann gets gave me fucking chills, man.
Yeah,
the phone was such a great grandma, and I was like, "Oh shit!"
The phone was such a great, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but it was such a great
thingamahoo.
It's a callback to the Twilight Zone
plot device, and I thought better even than the TV as a conduit. And then when he, like, anytime anyone picks it up, and the first thing I was like, why would they let her have a toy? don't talk to anything.
With making her the psychic conduit, it was great world building, you know, for the whole thing. I haven't seen part three. Have you seen with everyone else?
Yeah, I've seen all these movies several times.
And?
Three is not remotely the same vibe at all of the first two movies, but I do think it's worth watching because they take a lot of chances in moving the setting and recasting, like, its other extended family members. Heather O'Rourke's still in it, and so is Zelda Rubinstein. Otherwise, it's a completely new cast. It's in a high-rise apartment, like luxury apartment building. It's very different than the first two. I think it was Tom Skerritt and Nancy Allen. I want to say the one who was in RoboCop.
Yeah.
To say that.
Screaming Mad George did not do the effects for Poltergeist 2. That was a mistake. It was a whole team of people. I don't feel like naming. but look it up, because they did good work. But two is, I agree with you, Lewis. I think it needs to be rediscovered. I'd love to see some of the footage restored.
Yeah.
That kind of supports the original idea. All the connections to Twilight. Have you ever seen Little Girl Lost, the old original Twilight Zone series episode?
Yeah.
Which that's what they based the first Poltergeist on. And then the phone gag in this is supposed to be a reference to that one where the Billy Mumy's dead grandma keeps calling him on the toy phone. So, like, I love the nods to Twilight. I love that this they're saying we're going for that vibe. They're clearly saying, you know, we're fans of that kind of horror story. And despite the fact that it's a completely different creative group of people other than the cast in part two, like producers and everybody, like this is just a completely new group. It still looks like a Spielberg movie, I think, even though this is so far from production-wise, it's completely different.
Yeah, I agree. I actually like this. And I'm not going to take flack. No one gives me flack. But I
wouldn't dare.
I like this better than Temple of Doom, because I was thinking of this in terms of sequels that in my past I would have thought of as unnecessary sequels. I think this is better than Jaws 2. I like this better than Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
And probably a million others.
Well, you know, the thing about this is one of those kind of movies that you forget about, but it's like 30 years later, I mean, you really start to realize it was really ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah. It didn't feel just like a cheap grab.
Well, I felt it was so 80s. It felt earnest and sincere. It didn't like it just had an 80s feel that you had to live through to understand.
The acting too is just really key. I mean,
although, like, you guys were texting about, you and Elise both were like, he is Clark Griswolding for his life.
That's not bad.
Yeah,
like, it's not actually a bad thing.
Comedy, no, totally. It's like take Clark Griswold and put him in a horror situation.
It's the tone of the movie.
Yeah, if you've seen, I'm a huge fan of House with William Catt. And,
me too, George boy.
Lee. And this movie for me has an equally great blend of comedy and horror. And I think that Craig T. Nelson, obviously, Coach was a fucking great sitcom.
Coach.
He's got comedy chops. Well, so does Joe Coach. Beth Williams. The kids.
And they did keep it this side. Like, they kept it. It wasn't a horror comedy, but like they kept like the humor really, it felt real. One of my favorite parts that touches on that, and it's early on, and this is what made me compare it to Amityville, is that this family and this trying to deal with the reality of living through a supernatural crisis. Like, when they're talking to the insurance company, she's like, I don't think you should have told them that the house vanished.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny, but it is also like, I felt like it really made a good, showed you a good picture of what a family dealing with this would go
through.
That was such a real but also funny moment, and the conversation that surrounded it.
It's inherent in the situation. You don't have to be funny if you react like you know, like Craig T. Nelson doesn't have to be silly, but if he reacts in the big way he would normally probably react to, like an appliance breaking in the house, to these other things, it makes sense for that character to be like, oh shit, here comes another thing rolling down the lane. I just want my kids to be happy and healthy. And that's like his main thing is.
And he's on the edge.
Yeah, and he's on edge all the time.
Some comedy is the braces scene. I mean, I think that is supposed to be kind of funny.
Which was supposed to be bees.
But that.
Braces is so much better, you're right.
The realness, that scene that got to me was them in the diner. Just like, what the fuck are we going to do?
Yeah.
And I felt that. I felt that in that moment. I'm like, what do they do?
But then you add the comedy element, like in the same scene with the lady in the rollers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up to him possessed by the.
Yeah.
I love their conversation too. Like about the lady fucking around. It's 4 a.m.
You better not drag me down here at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, this was far of the. It's too bad they didn't have a spin-off sequel of like Zelda Rubinstein and what's his name?
Taylor. Yeah. Oh, agreed. Yeah. That would have been great.
For them to go off and there's some thing that he looks to as a heritage of all about the.
I'd watch that show.
Yeah.
Well, there's kind of is like
really, Poltergeist, the legacy.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking of that.
What I was going to say is that's the closest you probably get to a series ever about it,
The Insidious really movies are kind of that. Once they got into the sequels to the Insidious movies, I feel like they were trying to do just that with Lin Shaye's character and stuff. But yeah, the Poltergeist, the legacy show. I cannot remember for the life of me what the fuck happened on that show at any episode.
It was just a bunch. It was just, you can't. But it's just a bunch of weird psychic investigators.
Yeah, it was a weird show.
It's the Friday the 13th, the series of Poltergeist. Yeah. It like has like the almost nothing to do with it at all. But
I think maybe we need to get that now since we've seen Friday the 13th series and we've seen all of Freddy's nightmares. Maybe now it's time for Poltergeist.
I remember not liking
it. My brother and his wife loved it. And but they loved shitty. I mean, they loved any supernatural TV.
Showtime? I feel like it originally was on Showtime.
Maybe originally, but I think I think it was on like, it was either syndicated or on like USA or something like
that. I remember it being syndicated.
Yeah, syndicated, I think.
Because there was also Psy Factor or whatever it was called, the one that Dan Aykroyd produced.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those were like the two C-tier supernatural shows before we got the X-Files.
Speaking of the X-Files, it was giving me that one trilogy set of episodes where Mulder gets burnt up in that train car out in the desert, and he's saved by the Navajo who bring him back to life.
I hated those episodes.
And no, I love those. Anasazi and is that 731 with that one too? No, I don't remember.
Were they good ones?
Paperclip. Anasazi Paperclip. Oh, it was a great.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Two-parter. Maybe it was a three-parter. Don't remember. It's been a while. Anyhoosies. There was a lot of. I feel like they lifted. The X-Files lifted scenes from Poltergeist too. I don't know why they would have, but they did.
Lewis, can I ask you, do you feel like the Native American scenes were handled respectfully?
You know, actually, I really did. Sure, there's for the time, the kind of, you know, whitewashed there, you know, with like the father going to the shack to, you know, the medicine. Mm-hmm. But I thought that for the time, it was really, really good. I thought they didn't give the guy
Taylor.
Yeah, they just had some kind of a stoic. I mean, the guy had jokes. You know,
he had
and
personality, a lot of personality.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really at the time, it was really a good portrayal. I feel like he was kind of respectful for the time, you know.
I feel like this director kind of was a guy who cared about other cultures,
or maybe they got some blowback from the first movie that they didn't realize, you know, that they could be insensitive. Or just
what happened in the first movie?
No, I'm just saying maybe because there's some portrayal of Native American.
American stuff in the first one.
None at all.
Not that I remember.
Oh,
none.
It wasn't until the second.
No, but it's funny I'll tell you why I think you think that, and because Elise thought there that it was the. And I'm sorry to use this term, the old Indian burial ground.
Right.
I think that's a cult. I think that's a pop culture thing that we picked up from things that make fun of like this Amityville, Pet Cemetery. Yeah. Because the first one was just the cemetery, the modern cemetery that was moved.
Anyway, I'm just grateful that it was so good. Because sequels can be bad.
Watch.
You know, when I first thought of this movie, I thought it was going to be kind of a shitty you know,
me too.
Money grab.
Yeah, but I was thoroughly entranced. It was such a great movie. Better than had the right should have been. It was just a good movie in general.
Agreed. Oh man, I was so pleasantly surprised. We had such a great time with it. Like really good. I really felt. I mean, it made you feel shit. Like I thought, man. It was excellent.
Respectfully say, Craig T. Nelson, those shirtless scenes. I'm a fan.
Yeah. Slug Chris.
You can say it however
daddy?
You want.
Daddy.
He's good looking.
Is he daddy?
He's a man.
Oh, he's a man.
No, I liked how in the first one it gave us like the Joe Beth Williams character, like her like lascivious sex, like the sexy scene where she's like being she's in the underwear and the t-shirt and is getting pulled up and she's like writhing around. That I feel like was like a sexy for a lot of
Gene Siskel had some shitty stuff to say about Joe Beth Williams.
And well, he can fuck off.
Oh, really?
His review of Poltergeist 2 was pretty
well, he can fuck off
nasty.
In death.
Anyway, like, I mean, I've said shitty things. I'm
That's not his kind of movie.
But, like, also, he's just called her, like, shameless for appearing nude in movies and stuff. He was a
Sir.
Bubble. Yeah, he was a bubble.
Calm it down, Puritan.
I'm all for shameless nudity. Come on.
Kramer
I'm
versus glad, Kramer is a masterpiece.
I'm glad the people into dudes got their time in Poltergeist 2.
I was when he was choking on that worm. I was like, I'll give you something to choke on.
Give him a worm.
Opportunity, inappropriateness.
Oh, that worm, man.
Yeah,
That was a great.
When it opened its eye, and then you see him drink it. I was like, no, no, drink it.
Just that transition when they zoom in on the worm and just open his eye. That's just really good direction.
That actor.
That was such.
The suit. That guy lost both his legs, an arm, and an eye in Vietnam. And then he has had a career doing this sort of stuff.
That reminded me so much of It's Always Sunny when Frank slathers.
Comes out of the couch.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I wish Danny DeVito would do more monster work. Monster makeup, Danny DeVito.
Well, I mean, he's a young man. He can still get into it.
Sure.
Yeah. He's fit for his age.
He is.
So, Lewis,
thank you so much.
I appreciate
it. Yeah, man. Your great choice.
Great choices the whole month.
This was a solid fucking this tree of movies.
One of our best months. I don't know how often we've had three that we thought were super strong.
Well, great. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Thank
you. Be sure to read Lewis's writing at thelostogle.com. He's on Twitter, Lewis Fowler. And then Instagram is Lewis Fowler 79 or is that right? 78.
Same here as you, dummy.
That's right. You guys got me confused last time. You got me straight tripping, boo.
Lewis, it's always wonderful when you join us. Of course, we'll see you in a few months, right? For Hispanic Heritage Month.
Am I doing that or going to go for next week?
Do you want to come next week?
Talking about Godzilla.
We'll talk about later.
I wanted to tease the theme for next month. Kelly is very excited.
I basically forced everyone to do this.
Freddie does that all the time.
Sure.
I didn't really. I just suggested it, and you all were so gracious because I love the Monarch Godzilla movies, and there are only four of them. And I know some people are up and down on them, but I really super dig them. They really remind me of the Toho Godzilla movies, and I love Skull Island, which is what we will be starting the month with, Kong Skull Island.
Nice.
For April.
Great movie.
It's the cruelest month.
Ooh, is it hot in here?
No, I think you're just
it's just you.
Clammy.
Ay, ay, ay. Awful.
Well, that's exciting. At the end of every show, we always say hi to our Beelzebubs. So I'm going to do that right now. Again, patreon.com/NOTLP. If you want to do that. Let's start with Elise.
Cannot wait to see you, my love.
Alyssa. Brandon and Emily. Jeffel. Iona Goodwin.
Iona, great one.
Thank you. Dr. Brian.
She's a great old one.
Bill Chandler. Bill Farner. Frosted Blakes. Blaine Yogurt, Jordash Jeans, Paul, Jeremy and Cassie and Gamora, Ernie, Dave Siebert, and Monica.
Well, all right.
Thank you, guys. I've run out of
steam. I think we did
it. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thank you.
Ooh, thanks, everybody.
Frankenstein was wondering if he should go to bed when his old buddy Leatherface put on Dawn of the Dead, and Igor made the nachos in a severed human head, and they enjoy the movie with their friends. David Kessler walks the streets of London.